Genesis 2. This is the year that we are working to make sure that we fellowship with one another. And so that's why I was, my job at Liberty Church in San Marcos was, I was what they called the cell group pastor. And so I ran all the cell groups. And so I kind of know something about that. One of the reasons we haven't done it here is I'll tell you the big reason. God didn't say to. And so I've tried to run at it several times, and he stopped me. And so, you know, when we first started, I always think it's a good idea when you first start, because you have a lot of what I would call, forgive me for this, but cruismatics. They're just stopping by to see you, and then whoever thinks they need to take over will try to grab a group, and y'all know about stuff like that. So it's not really safe for the sheep, but we're past that now. We're pretty grown up around here, and I think we could do some more things like that. And since we have two groups in the back, I was thinking it might be fun. All right, Genesis 2:8, and we do have to consider that there are people watching us. So that need to be on this. So we'll have to think about that as well. So y'all just pray about it, and we'll see how the Lord leads us. Now, the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From it there, it separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pison. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aramaic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is, we call it Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur, and the fourth is the river Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So what we see here, that's the NIV version, we see here in the scripture that one of the first things God did for man, now get this, is plant. He planted. I want to talk to you about the power of planting. Okay? Now, he planted a garden. He planted it in Eden. And I don't think he went out and planted and then said, let's call it Eden. I don't think he did that. I think he said, Eden be. I think he put everything out there that he wanted it to be by speaking it. And Eden means voluptuous living. It's a good place to live. So all the senses are satisfied. It means pleasant. Where there's pleasant, there's peace. And so it had everything. Now, the actual Hebrew words say this: God planted a paradise in Eden. I like that. Now, I don't know if you know this. Most of you probably do. But the outer regions of heaven is called paradise. You can read that. Remember the rich man and Lazarus. And then we know Gary Wood and different people have told us that have been to heaven. Jesse, there's an outer place. And usually when people enter into heaven, they usually don't say that they're at the city, at the throne. They usually say, I landed in paradise, and I ate the leaves, and I had the leaves of the trees, and they wanted me to get in the river, and you wash off the old life, because even though your spirit's born again, your soul is going to have to get used to heaven somewhat, because it's just way good. So paradise is a big deal. But he created paradise for them. And so if you notice, it said he planted trees. That's on the third day he did that. And they were pleasant for sight, But they were also good for food. And they were nice to look at, and they provided nutrition. Now, every tree, its height, its breadth, its leaf, its color was beautiful. It's wonderful. It's fragrant. I have three lemon trees, and they're in the greenhouse right now. And John is my witness. That greenhouse smells wonderful. They've blossomed, and the bees get in there, and the bees are doing what they do in there, and it just smells so good in there. It's, you know, it's better than gain. Okay, so imagine what this must have smelled like. It's just amazing. So it looks to me like God was meeting all of man's outward needs. And of course, we know he meets the inward need, but he was doing everything. So he even wanted him to have nice things to look at. It all looked good. You know, heaven looks like a park. I mean, there's some pretty pastures and stuff. I mean, it looks like Yellowstone and Yosemite. Don't get me wrong. But it's beautiful. God is into beauty. And he created this for man. He created the mountains and the beaches, all of it together. And so he wanted nice things to look at. And then think about that, a river ran through it. Yeah, I remember that movie, A River Runs Through It. And they're standing out there fly fishing in the middle of that beautiful thing. I just think about heaven looking like that. I'm sure my daddy's down there fishing on that river. But you know, it's just a great place. And then there's gold there. So you got something to trade with, got things to make things out of. So God takes pleasure in Adam and Eve's prosperity. He took pleasure in it. Now, the scripture says he takes pleasure in our prosperity. Prosperity meaning this, that you take the ability of God and bless mankind. You're blessed, but then you also bless mankind. You take his ability. That's what prospering is. So if you go back and look at verse 11, which happened on the third day, like we said, you're going to see that the trees and the grasses and the herbs would all be propagated, though, by seed. They're all going to be seed-bearing, right? It's going to start. The seed is going to happen. So he started with vegetation, and then he appointed man to propagate through seed. Am I right? We get that. We're adults. We get that. So it's his way. So we could say then that is actually how he multiplies. He multiplies through seed. Now, are you going to believe that or not? Because it is the truth that he multiplies through seed. It's his way. This is how he does it. And so it's all over the Bible, and there is power in the seed. This is true both physically and spiritually. I mean, you can listen. Deb brought a candy bar home from Turkey when us four were over there, and it had some dates. Well, you can't bring food back into the U.S., but she had the dates, and so, you know, she just put the seed somewhere. I don't know how she got away with that, but so I don't know if she meant to, obviously, but so now we have two date trees growing. Did you help us on that? Yeah, so he's very good. Dwayne's very good at seeds. And so those two things, I mean, they're getting sturdy now. So we have two Turkish date trees growing up. Who knows, those dates may have come from America and came back. No, I don't know. But I just think it's interesting that there you have it. And then we've done a lot of stuff working with seeds. Dwayne taught Deb to grow microgreens, and she's really good at it. And so they produce all kinds of vegetables that are smaller, and they're just full of nutrients and vitality. And so it's a big deal at our house. Also, we have asparagus beds, and we've already cut over almost 150 asparagus, and it's not even springtime. I mean, we ate it today. Did you get some? Okay. So everybody in the house usually gets some of it if you like it. All right, so God sets all this up, and he does all this So he starts then with this vegetation. This is the way he multiplies. Now, this is what I want to say to you. So get this out of it, because we're talking about spiritual things here. If you're going to cross dimensions, or shall we say realms, you're going to have to know how to plant seed. See, a lot of times we don't think about that. We think crossing dimensions is us just, well, you know, we'll all get together and we'll praise the Lord and the glory will fall like it did last Sunday. You know, I mean, we had a hoop to do. I mean, praise the Lord. But there's a little bit more to that. Maybe I should say it like this. If you're going to bring kingdom into the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done into the earth, then you're going to have to know something about farming. Like, well, I don't know anything about farming. I don't have a green thumb. Everything it is. No, the Bible says you can know. You got to know something about seed time and harvest. And you can say, oh, I just love the quantum physics stuff and this dimension talk and frequency and God is light. But the truth is this, folks. All of that operates on simple farming principle. All of it does. All of it involves something being sown into an atmosphere. Okay, so seed time and harvest. Everything works by seed time and harvest. Now, I've been quoting this lately, but I'll quote it to you again. This is Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, he's talking to Noah. And Noah was going to be the now seed person, right? He and his sons were who are his sons? That's right. You got it. And so they're going to be the seed producers now. They're going to have to, you know, get the earth filled back up again. But he's also going to need to plant. He planted a vineyard. He started doing something. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. It's not going to go away. Well, maybe it'll go away after when the world's over. It's not, church. We're at the end of the age. Time as we know it will be different. Things will be different. But the world's not going to disappear. It's going to get glorified eventually. Amen. And you need to know this stuff because you're going to be ruling with Christ. You need to know what goes on. You need to have a spiritual head about you. Amen. So anyway, that was spoken after the flood. And then right after that, he commanded Noah to be fruitful, multiply, do all those things. And then let's just jump on. Fast forward some to Abraham. So we know that Abraham is the father of a multitude. So God prophesies over him the same thing. You're going to multiply. You're going to do good. We know that. But let's talk about Isaac. That's the one I want to talk about. Genesis 26:1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. That's Gaza, y'all. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell thee. Dwell in this land. Lord, what are you doing? I'm listening to you. Your net worth will exceed what you've dreamed of. It will exceed what you dreamed of. Put it up. Look at it, say it, watch for it. It's happening and it begins tonight. It goes to another level. Praise the Lord. All right, so here we go back here and let's see, he says something else. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands. Oh. I'm going to give all these lands. Okay, interesting. You know, he gave that land to Abraham, and it's still theirs. Okay, which I perform the oath which I swore to Abraham. I got ahead of it here. Your father. And I will make your descendants multiply. Now, we're talking having babies here, but you got to get past that. We're talking about multiplying spiritual babies. We're talking about multiplying finances. We're talking about multiplying influence and favor and everything else. We're talking about multiplication. It says, I will give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, here's what happened. You drop to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and got a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Sounds like today. Okay. So God had this specific land that he wanted to give his people. Now listen, track with your spirit here. You might pick up something about your personal life here, okay? He had some particular land that he wanted to give his people. He made a covenant promise to Isaac's father to give him the land and his offsprings. And even if there's a famine, the promise of God was on the man to change the land. Okay? It was on the man to change the land. I hope you got that. See, the land needed Isaac to be there. The land needed him to be there. So why? He's wearing the blessing. That's why you're here. That's why you're in this town. That's why we're neighbors where we are. We're wearing the blessing. That's exactly why you're parked where you're parked right now. You're the one wearing the blessing. And the blessing is the empowerment to prosper in every area, not just finances, in every area. Favor, all sorts of things. Influence. And we need to be influencers if we're going to win people into the kingdom of God. You got to have some anointing. All right, so Joseph didn't need Egypt as much as Egypt needed Joseph. Joseph didn't find his dream in Egypt. He didn't find it there. He brought it with him. You're packing. You are. Tonight, you're the one that's carrying it. God brought me here because of the anointing on my life, the same as you and you and everybody in here. He brought us here for such a time as this because of the type of anointing that is on our lives. And we all fit together real nice. But, you know, once God has promised you that something will support you, listen to me, then it will support you. Amen. If he said it will support you, it's going to support you. It's true. If he says, go here and do this, this is going to support you. Did you know that if you join the military today, that they would buy your clothes right down to your socks? They would. They'd give you everything you needed and a salary. You got in on it. Did you know that when my Toby lived in my house, we bought his clothes, we bought his boots, we bought his, he started out in flannel shirts, but he ended up in those polo things and all that, you know. Praise the Lord. And we bought those too, right? Well, we're in God's house. But notice what God did. He sent Eden. He made Eden. And he made an Eden for you to live in. But here's the thing with us. Eden is now in you. Your garden is in you. You have to get the garden out of here, out of here, and bring it out here. Are you with me? Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So, if he promised you something, then that something's going to support you. So, the place was important, too. It was a covenant land. And think about this. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he left the boundaries, and they all died. Naomi and Ruth came back and they made it, but the rest of them died. So places can produce for people. Now, I fully expect the land I live on to produce for me. Amen. I told John the other day, I said, because, you know, there's a water thing out there. I said, we're not having it. I'm talking to the everywhere where there's supposed to be water coming out of the ground. and we're going to have it. If God sent us out there, it's not so that we could run dry. But he sent us out there because we're the ones with the blessing on our life. We can draw it up out of the ground. Oh, do you really believe that, Pastor? I do. I do believe that. Amen. So don't go coming to me saying, you know, Smithwick doesn't have any water. Well, it does now. And I mean, we've fought a good warfare with it. But we're winning. And now we're talking to it, and we're going to see more. All right. Now, so Isaac stayed in covenant boundaries. When God gives you an assignment, here's what you need to do. Stay in it. When God gives you an assignment, sow into it. When God gives you an assignment, reap of it. Reap of it. After Isaac planted, he started digging more wells. And so then he dug in the land. So he's doing all these things. He stayed in it. He sowed in it. He reaped in it. And then he's digging wells. Doesn't that sound, that sounds pretty spiritual to me. We could do all those things. You know, Abraham was a man of altars. Jacob was a man of tents. But Isaac was a man of wells. He dug wells. And so he also knew that God could provide in many different ways because he said he would. Church, you're not stuck. God can provide in many ways. Be a looking. Be looking. Be watching for it. You're not stuck. Well, you know, I get my check, and well, you know, you need to start thinking higher. That's why we're talking about this today. There are some of the folks in our church are needing some help. And so I'm here to help. I'm telling you how to do it. There's power in planting. There's power in understanding everything I said, that ground can provide for you. But now walk with me on that because you're going to get where I'm going when we talk about this spiritually. So God can provide different ways. So he stayed, he obeyed, he sowed, he reaped, he dug, and he kept digging. And what happened? He waxed great, he went forward, and he grew until he became very great. He had enough to help everybody. Kind of reminds me of my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law came in with a 5'10" John Deere backhoe into town years ago. And, of course, he married my sister, obviously. And he got in there and just believed that God would bless him in the town. He got all the bids. He built a big business. And guess who worked for him? All of us. All of us worked for him. Everybody worked for him. He could provide that for people. And he wasn't the type of person that he was trying to lord it over people. He wanted to help people. And so he knew how to, as you say, I work with them. Yeah. It didn't get to his head. He's just a good guy. But you see where I'm going. You could actually be that tree that help provides for people. It maybe. Of course, it needs to be financially, but maybe it would be because of a revelation you have or some knowledge you have or an anointing or a gift that's on your life that helps provide for people. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so here's the deal now. You and I, according to Galatians, we have the same promise. We have the promises of blessing and multiplication. And I'm trying to plant a seed in you right now. Yeah. I'm trying to get seed to you right now. This is a seed that we can bring to pass, that there's going to be power in our planting. Right. If it hadn't been before, there is now. So let this seed go into your spirit then. We can, listen, here's the seed. We could become many. There you go, take it. Let that plant in your heart. We can become many. Well, you know, Pastor, we like the more of the small church feel. Well, you know, that's fine, but we can break up into groups if you need small. Because we need to reach as many people as we can. But we could multiply. If each one of us believed that we have it on our lives, we could draw them in. Miss Pat and Mr. Make and I don't know how many people they brought in last week. You know, Sunday, there were people in here. Oh, yeah, I asked them. Oh, yeah. And somebody else brought some other people. Oh, you guys, your friends came. And so that's the multiplication. That's working. We're working on things like that. I got to go here. So there's power in planning. When God created heaven and earth, he did it by this. Now, for sake of time, because we're going to try to do this in about 10 minutes. You all are familiar with Mark 4, right? It's probably one of the most marked up places in your Bible. Okay, so I'm not going to read it, but if you don't know it, listen to me. If you don't know it, please read it. Because this is the parable of the sower. And Jesus talks to the crowd, and he talks about the sower sows a seed. But then when he gets with the disciples, they say, tell us what you really mean about that. Now, we understand what's happening. He speaks to the crowd because they don't want to be responsible for the revelation. But the disciples, those people who really want to get in on it, he'll just tell them the revelation, the truth of it. And the truth is the sower sows the word. That's the truth. However, if you look at this very closely, it's also in Matthew and it's also in Luke. The truth about this here is that this is how the kingdom of God works. Church, we can't get away from this. We have to understand and keep this in our thought that the kingdom of God works by seed, time, and harvest. Everything. This is not an offering word. I'm talking about everything does, especially the word. Yes. And in this case, when you read down into Mark 4, what's the ground? Our heart. Our heart is the good ground. And so there's a list there that tells you how to keep good ground, how to not be offended, how to not get into the cares of this world, all those things. Y'all know all this. I'm not going to go over that tonight, but I just want you to think of how many times the Bible is talking about this to us. And then the Apostle Paul picks it up and talks about seed time and harvest. He talks about it in a way where he's talking about finances. And then he goes over into Galatians and said, hey, God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap natural flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to connect into the spirit realm, which will get you multiplication. Amen. I went out a little on that, but you know where I'm talking about. Okay, so look, Gloria used to say this, Miss Gloria used to say this all the time. No deposit, no return. No deposit. If you don't deposit, you will not get a return. So you have to sow something into your bank account before you can withdraw. Only sowing to your spirit's much better because you get a higher yield. So sowing your seed financially falls under that same principle, of course. And so Jesus has talked all about that, the different types of ground. He tells all of that story. And he says something that is amazing here that I think people overlook. When he's telling this story, he says, if you get this, you'll get all the rest. So Jesse, how could we leave this alone? How could we leave this particular revelation alone when we know that everyone we meet needs to know this and that all of us need to be reminded that whatever you sow, you will reap. We cannot let this go. We have to keep it in the forefront of our thinking and be like spiritual farmers and plant good word in our hearts and plant good seed into ministries and into this church and what, you know, all of these things. If you're not doing like you want to do well financially, listen to what God wants you to sow. And get in on sowing the seeds. Of course, you need to be a tither, and I know that's understood among all of us. But the thing is, if you don't join God in any of this, If you don't join him in it, you're not hooked to the kingdom. You're just doing it on your own. You could do it on your own if you want to, but the better thing is to A, be a tither, which means you're connected in and now you have an insurance policy. If the devourer cannot get you, he can't. People are like, well, the devourer, that's in the Old Testament, and the devourer's already been rebuked. And hey, the devourer has been rebuked, but he's running loose right now. And he may devour you if you don't get God's protection. It's not about God. God wants you to have everything freely. That's why he set this up as a protection for you to run under so that the devil can't have your stuff. It's a protection. We do what we want to. But I want to. The thing about, let me just say this here and then we'll go on with it where we're flowing. The thing about tithing and giving is, I don't tithe. I am a tither. So it just goes out. I don't question it. I hit the button every time. That is, I'm not going to keep God's stuff mixed with my stuff. Achan did that in the Bible and they lost the war. I'm not going to mix my stuff up with him. Well, the same with the seed. If he doesn't tell me to give, I'm fine. But if he tells me to give, then that's his. But that is the thing. It's the seed that brings the harvest. The tithe doesn't. The tithe is how you buy the field. The tithe is how you get in the business. But then you got to go get the seed. Amen. Okay, that was free, but maybe you need to know that so you can help people. All right, because I know y'all know that. So let's go this way then. Because this is what's valuable. Words are seeds. Words are living seeds. Words are process starters. They start the process. Hey, church, just listen to me for a minute like you've never heard this before, okay? Just for a minute like you've never heard it before. Words are the most powerful things in the universe. And guess who has the authority to use them? Little old us. We're loaded. We can launch an authoritative command from our spirit and change things. You're like, well, I know prophets do that, but I don't know if I can. You're the prophet of your own life. You declare and then keep your conversation with your confession. Yeah, it's going to happen. Well, it doesn't. It's because you're just saying it doesn't. Don't even go there. Just fight it with everything you have. This is mine. I'm healed. I am too healed. I am too. I am this. Yeah, I can say that. You know, the thing about it, maybe people that struggle, help them with this. Here's what you can help them with. If they're like, I just can't, fear keeps them from tithing and stuff like this. It's all about making a quality decision, okay? Now, a quality decision is a higher level decision. And the Bible says, add to your faith virtue. The word virtue means strength. It means it's strength. So it's integrity. So if you go ahead and make a quality integrity decision ahead of some things, you don't make it anymore. Are you going to marry Larry? But you already did, right? You do it again. You're messing up my thing here. So let me try. Debbie, are you going to marry Dwayne? Say, I'm already married. Okay. I know that was sweet and good, but see, they don't have to get married over and over again because they already made the commitment, and it's settled. And so if y'all got mad, but I know sun going down, you're going to make up before the sun goes down. That's what we do. I even make my dogs do that. I'll tell, if Boone's growling at Annie, I say, Boone, sun going down. We're not going to be mad in this house. Hey. I don't want strife in my house.
Right.
Okay, so, but it's already settled, so you don't have to rethink it tomorrow. You made a quality decision that you're going to do it. So when $1 million shows up on a check tomorrow, I don't make any other decision but that 100,000 of it is going to God. And by the way, the church does that. It's never a question. There's always tithing and giving going out all the time. But you don't struggle with it. It's like, that 100,000 could come in, that 10,000, that $10, that 10 cents, it's not mine. But what gives you the strength is that virtue. Add to your faith virtue, and it will lift you up. No, I already decided. I already decided I'm not cheating. It's not going to happen. I'm not cheating. I already decided I'm not going to do certain things. I'm not going to do it, and I'm not tempted to do it because I already decided. We're not having that. Y'all see that? So you can help people with that. They understand that it's not a day-to-day decision on some of these things. It's, okay, obviously I have to be here, but it's not a day-to-day decision whether I'm coming to church. Y'all are at the door every time I get here. I think you've already made up your mind. It's a quality decision. I'm preaching to the choir. Okay, the Lord told me to say that, so we just might not finish this. We may do it another time. Okay, so here's the point. You're a spirit. You're made in the image of God. God never does anything without saying it first. He never does anything without saying it first. Ephesians says that we're to be imitators of God. And so if you're going to be an imitator of God, you're going to have to act like him and talk like him. And so we will. It is good, isn't it? Jesus is our best example, and he used the right words all the time. Church, as you release your words, you are releasing your future. You're releasing your future. Words are seeds. You're planting them. They're containers. They carry faith or fear. And they're seeds that produce after their own kind. Did you get that? They produce after their own kind. So just like the Garden of Eden, they were designed for your benefit. They're designed for your benefit. The garden was good. Your garden can be good. And Adam may have lost the battle in that, but Jesus brought it back for us, and he took on the curse, and you're not cursed, but you have to make that choice every day because the enemy is a legalist, and he's still running around, so you have to tell him, no, I'm working in the blessing. And I'm not letting the curse in. Now, you do that. If you'll do it with words, you'll begin to do it with action. You will. You'll start doing what you say. Start looking at all the good things you do. Don't sit around, well, I don't do it. Well, I haven't done that. Well, I haven't done that. Start naming off things, good stuff you do. I just had to do that about some of my habits. I was like, okay, I drink the green drink every day. Check. Okay, I take my vitamins every day. Check. You know what you do. And, of course, all the spiritual stuff you do. But start thinking about all the good things you do. And then add it. Just sow seed. Just start. Brother Copeland started with a pencil. And then that lady chased him down and said, you've been worrying me all night long. Here's $10. And he ran up to the thing and got his pencil out and threw his $10 in there. And he said, I got Oral Roberts anointing for $10 a month. He claimed that. He claimed what he sowed. I'm telling you, the day we sold one of our vehicle that we shared in our business, we sold it and we sent all the money to that Citation 10. And what happened? Lexus after Lexus after Lexus, and none of them have had a payment on them. None of them. We sowed a tree, and that tree is still producing. Are you with me? We just made it. And so you get the momentum. Momentum will happen. You get on a roll. You start getting on a roll, and you're like, hey, that worked. Okay, that worked. Okay, man, we've been doing that since the day we started on this stuff. Okay, yeah, that, okay, okay, now we got that. Okay, now we understand. Okay, now we sowed this. And so Deb and I actually have just become givers. That's what we are. We're just givers. And so whatever comes up, we're just givers. You're like, well, I'm so glad y'all can give because I can't afford to. That's your mouth. If you would sow the seed, God would provide it. Sow the seed of the word, and you'll have it when it comes. And when he says, give $1,000, you'll go, okay. You don't have to go, when he wants to use you to do something or go somewhere, you won't have to go, oh, I can't do that. Because you'll have the strength and ability because you've already sown the words to do it. Amen. Church, here's good words for us. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to preach at another church this weekend, and I'm doing three services. And Danny was like, Pastor, you want to, what if we just do two and then you rest and then we'll come back and do this one at nighttime? I said, no. Roll them all up there. Let's just do it. And then y'all could drive me home. Amen. Amen. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, you know, when I go other places, they want the prophetic, and it takes a long time. So it you get tired. Do y'all understand that preaching burns calories and you get tired and stuff? It really does. So you'd be surprised. It's like running because there's this thing's going on, you know. But I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do this. My finances are strong in the Lord. You need to start confessing that. My finances are strong. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't need to confess that because I have plenty. Well, okay, I'm going to send Randy out to start talking to our new building, so you be ready to pay for it then. Because the Lord told me by this summer we're going to see some property. Amen. I'm going to be looking for it. Like, well, we don't need a new building. That's not your call. That's God's call. I think we have plenty of room here, but I'm not going. If he tells me, we do it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Randy was the one who came over here and talked to this building. He sowed the seed, church. He sowed the seed, and it got into our hearts, and we got it. All right, I'm finished. Let's see. Let me see if I'm going to tell you anything else. Okay, here we go. We'll close with this. Mark 4, verse 26. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Do you get that? He doesn't know how it happens. We don't know how stuff grows. I'm telling you, I planted some potatoes, and one of them already came up. And I said, John, look at there. That thing already came up. He says, there's another one coming up. They're not even supposed to come up yet. How does that happen? But it does. It's happening. Church, have faith in that. Have faith in what you're doing. Yeah, I know. I got you. Okay. Everything you do works on this principle. Everything you do works on this principle. Everything. There's power in planting. So, water, you got to plant the seed, water the seed with the word. The word is the seed, and it is the watering. It's both. And so make scriptural confessions, and don't counteract your confessions with bad declarations, with conversations. Oh, well, I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to. People, not everybody needs to know your business. You don't have to give them an excuse of why you can or can't. Just say, I'm not going, or I'm not doing that, or the Lord didn't tell me to do that. That's all anybody needs to know. I know that's hard on people, but just Do what God tells you to do and become a pipeline. Become a pipeline with words. Become a pipeline with finances. Become a pipeline with influence. Become a pipeline of evangelism. Church, we are in the greatest days of history. We have an open door to prosper like never before. We have an open door to get out and get people more than ever before. Everything has fallen into place on our side. That oppression that we had to fight through to get stuff done, which we made it. We did good. But now there's an open road right now to do everything we need to do. Hey, I didn't forget, Lord. What about all the plain stuff? People's mouths. I shut it down every day. I go to the courts of heaven and say, nope. Randy's safe. Lori's safe. Our people who fly are safe. Not happen. I command a crop failure over that. I'm putting a babble on that. That they all shut up about it. Well, what about all those planes? Stop it. Don't perpetuate that. Don't build a tower on that. We tear it down in Jesus' name. Amen. That you're safer in the air than you are on the ground. You may not feel like it, but you are. Okay, Lord, you told me to say that and then I'll quit. Remind me again what it was. Thank you, Lord. Would you just like to be a total successful millionaire? I'm so glad you just said that because you didn't act all holy like, oh, no. $1 million is really not very much. Multi-millionaire. So that you can do anything God says to do. Anything God tells you to do. I'd just like to own a jet service myself, and I could just send preachers all over the world wherever they wanted to go. But did you know we actually give in to something like that? The Hammonds. That's his dream, to own a jet service for people and build these churches, and they're going up. Praise the Lord. The Lord hadn't reminded me what I was going to tell y'all yet. It's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, what was it? Thank you, Jesus. Did y'all enjoy this tonight? We got to watch what we say, church. We need to start talking. You need to get a confession going because you're going to believe yourself before you believe anybody else. You actually have an inner ear that's listening to you. Don't get left behind. God's going to do great things. He's going to do great things, and we're going to be a part of it. We don't have to be left behind. We can do it. We can finance things. We can be there for people. Dave Licken told me, he said, there's so many people in Victory Church that want to go to Israel, we could go ahead and just rent our own plane. That'd be nice. It's not that hard. See, we need to think bigger. Stop choking. Stop choking on things. You don't need to choke on things. Well, if I just had an acre. Well, you can have the acre if that's what you want. But if you wanted 100, you could have 100. Whatever you want to do. Well, if you want to drive Kia, drive Kia. If you want to drive, what's a fancy car? I don't even know. What? Is Infiniti? Is that a fancy car? Okay. Then drive that. Cadillac, whatever it is. I don't know. I drive a Toyota, you know, so. Praise the Lord. God is good. A fancy Toyota. Praise God. You want to sleep on good sheets? Sleep on good sheets. You want to buy fancy dogs, buy a fancy dog. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of religious junk about prosperity. Don't let it steal yours. Don't let it steal yours. Thank you. I was checking on the Pope to see if he was okay, and he's getting better. Praise the Lord. And so I've been praying for him. And so I was looking at questions about the Pope. And how much money does the Pope make? Well, the Pope has done like Mr. Trump. He gives his salary away. And he, I mean, he has everything to live, and so he doesn't want it. That's fine. Now, taking a vow of poverty is another thing. Don't be doing that kind of stuff. But he gives it away. And so I'm looking at the pull downs, and they have, do they pay taxes today? And they're answering them right. And it's just yes and no, and they're answering them all right. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all of it, it says, does Joel Osteen pay taxes? I'm like, oh, no. Now, I hope. And they said, yes, he does. And then it says, what is Joel Osteen's salary? Zero. He doesn't take a salary. Now, how about that? You want to know why? Because his books. He makes all his money off his books. And he deserves to get a salary. But he gives it away. And you're right. It's nobody's business. But it's just so silly how people are. Well, why do they get that? Well, why does a preacher get to live in a good house? Well, who do you want to live in it, the drug lord? I mean, it's that entitlement thing that makes you think that just because someone has wealth that they're taking yours. And there's plenty for everybody. Well, we got back on money. But I'm telling you, this thing works in every area. It works in your health. It works in your security. It works in your protection. It works in your anointing. It works when you're going out every day doing whatever you do. We were in the Fire Bowl, my favorite restaurant right now. And Deb says, I'll be back. And I thought, well, here she goes. And so there was a lady with her son over there, and she took him. She emptied her purse out and went and gave it to him. Gave it to her, and she says, "I just want to bless you with lunch and stuff." And so the lady was like, "Well, how did you? The Lord told you? The Lord told you?" And she got real curious. And here in a little bit, she came looking for Deb. But what if Deb would have said, "I can't do that." Because that was the only thing that she could get an answer on. That's what God said to do. All we have to do is what God said to do. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for blessing our lives. And Lord, I declare that we are like Joseph. We are like Isaac. We are like Abraham. The land needs us. It needs the blessing that's on our lives. So we speak to this land and we speak to the people in this land. And we say, here we are. We bring the blessing. There are others in this area that are bringing the blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for their prosperity and their anointing. And I thank you, Lord, that we won't hold back, but we make quality decisions based on our virtue and our integrity toward honoring God. We do everything we're called to do. If you tell us to do something in the scriptures or by the Holy Spirit, we say yes and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Let's receive our offering and we'll go. Praise the Lord. Did y'all enjoy the sunny day today? So pretty outside. And
like yesterday, it was like the dirty 30s.
The dirty 30s? Wasn't that interesting? You saw the whole thing blow in all of a sudden. The sky's just, I'm like, what just happened? But it all blew out. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Praise the Lord.
Huh? It all went to Tyler.
It all went to East Texas. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for all the givers and the tithers in Jesus' name. We bless you for it in the name of Jesus. If you want to give via text message, VCHL, and the amount you want to give, 73256, click the link and complete your gift. And it's a done deal. And we're grateful. Thank you, Lord. He always takes care of us. He'll always take care of you. Just be in on it with him. He always will. We don't lose. You got to get, that's not arrogant. You're God's. So you don't have to lose. And your children don't have to lose. And your wayward children
That's right.
will come back. You won't lose. They will come back. Well, it's been 15 years already. I don't care. It's been 30.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll all come home.
Amen.
This is what we always say. It's too late. It's too late for them. They can run as far and wide as they want to. I got a covenant. I've got a covenant. Thank you for it, Lord. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Are you prosperous? Are you blessed? Amen. Then we're going to act like it. Prosperous in every way. We have the ability of God to bless mankind in any way we need to, whether it's buying them a Blizzard, a Dairy Queen, down to whatever it is. You don't know how you affect people. I went into Dairy Queen one time, and the Lord said, ask them how many people work here. I said, how many people work here? And they said, 5 or 6. He said, give every one of them $20. And so I got out my money and said, okay, this is for them, it's for them, this is for them. And they all lit up. I get such good service there. But I didn't do it for that. I did it because God told me to. And now there's that open place. Deb and I have been going to the same cleaners for 20-something. We went to this cleaners when we lived in McKinney, 2005. And so we lived there and here in 2005. And so he moved it, went to Cedar Park. And so we've been going there. And guess what? He's saved now. And a couple of the people that work there are Christians now. You just work on relationships. Just continue to work. And he stuck his face in the car the other day, and he said, I just want to tell y'all, I heard all your... He was in an accident. He was chainsawing a tree down, and it fell on him. But God healed him. And he said, y'all's words, I want to thank you for them. Just the cleaners, just the Starbucks, just the, what do they call that tea place?
HTO.
Just the, whatever it is, there's someone out there that you can reach. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the... Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here,